If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn over there to Luke chapter 24. I'll be reading verses 1 through 12. Our scripture text is Luke 24 and 5. And we'll be speaking this morning on the subject, Jesus is alive. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And when they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest, now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James. Also, the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings only. And he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened. You know, the day was not a normal day for the world, even though it seemed to start the same. Yes, the sun would come up and the animals in the fields would act the same. Children would be playing. Businesses would open. Just a typical day in Jerusalem, but it was not usual in the heavens. The king now was no longer encapsulated in the grave. He has conquered the grave, and sin no longer would have its dominion over mankind. The Bible declares in 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 58, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." I want to look at three words here found in this text I just read to you in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 15 through 58. I want to spend a moment on three words here that is found in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55 through 58. The first word is steadfast. Really, this word is a true word to our hearts today as we live here in this modern society. But then again, we also have to look as when Paul penned these words down, inspired by the Holy Spirit. He was telling them to be steadfast, unwavering, resolute, committed to the task at hand, committed to their relationship with Jesus Christ, committed to bringing the Word of God into a sinful world, committed to shining the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, unwavering at that task. Committed to that task, having a resolution and a resolute mindset to continuing in that task. And secondly, the word immovable, being steady at what you're doing and stay rigid in your beliefs and be unbending towards the criticisms that may come your way when you're bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to a hurting and sinful world. The naysayers or the criticizers, the scoffers, may come at you, but Paul is saying there, be steady, be rigid, be unbending, always abounding. And that word abounding is so powerful in the Greek. It literally means to flourish, to be successful, to thrive. He's saying, be very, very successful in the work of the Lord, thriving in the work of the Lord, flourishing in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. You know, so many times people just want to give up when they have a task at hand for Jesus Christ. They don't want to continue on, but I'm so glad to tell you today that Jesus never gave up on us, and he will never leave us nor forsake us, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He'll always continue in us in the promises that he's given us. And I really believe today that we need to continue being steadfast in our ways in the Lord and be immovable in our task for him and always abounding in the work of the Lord, realizing, knowing that the toil is not in vain in the Lord. You know, when they came to finish the burial rites, they noticed that it was not just a typical morning. When they came to the tomb where Jesus had been placed, it was empty, just as we noticed there in a change in a life of one who has been redeemed. You see, when someone is redeemed, there is a change in their life. There's a character change. There's an attitude change. There's a change in how they view society, how they view the world, how they view themselves. We notice that which has conquered once conquers no more. You see, sin does not conquer them any longer. And the angel met them there and asked this question. And this is our text today. Why do you seek the living one among the dead? To their amazement, he was not there. But they asked that same question again. You know, that's what was going on. That's what was stating in their life. You know, why do you seek the living one among the dead? He was gone. But where, they probably thought. Where had he gone? The one that they loved, the one that they so desperately served and followed and cared for as he was here in his public ministry on this earth, caring for him and making sure that he had what he needed daily. How could the dead be living, they probably thought. This is a miracle. This could not happen. He was truly the Son of God, the Savior of the world. They knew that, but they forgot how many times he had told them that he would rise on the third day. He had shown them three aspects of his appearance on this wonderful morning. The first aspect is simply this, the truth of who he was, the revelation. Jesus said to her in John 11 and 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Let me read that again to you. It's so powerful. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. He came and revealed to us the ministry and his purpose for coming to this earth through the virgin birth. Yes, his ministry and his purpose for coming here on this earth, knowing what it says in John 3, 16 and 17, that for whosoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ shall not perish but have everlasting life, that he had not come to judge the world but to save the world. He came to remove conflict and bring comfort to the soul. You see, I really believe today that we have to have faith in what Jesus Christ did for us. He is alive. If there's any conflict in your soul today and any conflict in your heart, remember that he came to remove that conflict. He came to bring comfort to your soul. He came to forgive your sin. He came to deliver you out of difficulties and troubles. He came to set you free. He came to bring liberty into your life. You know, Jesus cares so much about you today. He cares so much about all of us. He's done these things for us, and he continues to pray for us, for the Bible says in Hebrews 7 and 25 that he is forever interceding for us, that he is able to save all those who come to God through him. You know, I really believe today that we have to have that total reliance on Jesus Christ. Not have a reliance on men, but have a reliance on the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. We have to understand that this revelation is in our own life now. He has revealed to us through his word who he is, and we have believed in that word, and we have given our heart to him, and now we live out the word before this world today. We bring the light of the gospel into this world today. Our character and our attitude show forth how we are committed to the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. How marvelous it is to serve Him, the Savior of the world, the only begotten Son of God, who is alive. He came forth in the bodily resurrection. He is alive in our hearts. He is alive in this world as we show forth His mercy and His grace, His unconditional love to all those that we come in contact with. I really believe today that we need to bring this revelation of Jesus Christ to the lost because of one fact. He is alive. They tried to destroy Him. They tried to kill Him back in those days. The religious world did. The enemy of our soul went after Him. But He is alive today. He is alive because He came forth on that third day. He came out that morning alive in the bodily resurrection. He came out. He conquered death. He conquered the grave. He conquered sin for you and I. For when we were yet in darkness, He died for us. But when He was yet in darkness, He also rose for us that we would be able to serve Him and be saved, sanctified, and set apart again to serve the Lord our God in holiness. The word of the Lord says, be holy for He is holy. You see, the beauty about His resurrection brought the second aspect. It was reconciliation found in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 18. You see, the word reconciliation means to bring together, to have a resolution. You see, we were divided, separated because of sin. You know, sin has just destroyed our relationship with God. It's not God's fault, or we can't blame God for that. We made a choice to sin. We were born in iniquity because of sin that continued in mankind for so long. But Jesus came. He shed His precious blood that we would be reconciled, we would be brought back to God. There would be a resolution between God and men. You see how that reconciliation works. Let me read these scriptures to you. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. How wonderful that is to know that we have been made friends again, to simply put it, with God. We are the friends of God. He is a friend of mine. God cares for us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that He would die, suffer, He would be smitten, mocked, He would be scourged, hung on a cross on Calvary's hill, that we would see Him in our life even today. But He rose in our life even today because He is alive, and He has brought to us that reconciliation. He has brought us back together with the Lord our God. Let me read what it says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. And again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. You see, oftentimes this scripture is used in different situations. It's oftentimes used to gain maybe prosperity or gain something that you hope to receive. But the real fact of this scripture really is speaking to the conflict. This is pure reconciliation. It is speaking about the forgiveness of sin, you forgiving someone else or someone forgiving you. You know, we have been reconciled back to the Father. How wonderful it is. You see, when we see that we need to agree on this earth, you know, we need to understand that there is a time that we need to forgive one another as Jesus has forgiven us, and that we need to be forgiven as Jesus has forgiven us. So let's look today and realize that the conflict that we may have between one another can be resolved by forgiveness. The conflict that we may have towards a situation or some circumstance can be resolved through the shed blood of Jesus. through forgiveness, understanding that there is a truth in the depth and the riches of Jesus Christ and his mercy that he has brought to us. We've been saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God unto us, this salvation, and he has brought it to us by his suffering on the cross. Yes, he suffered. He went through a horrific death, but he rose on that third day. He is alive, and we have come once again to become the friends of God. You know, it's very pure to say that. It's exciting to say that. It's comforting to say that, that we are his friend. We are now beholding in our eyes and our heart the Father as he beholds us in his heart. As he looks upon us, he considers us his friends. We are now back together. The sins have been taken away, and our relationship again is brought into the throne of grace, where we can boldly enter and find help and grace in our time of need. The third aspect is redemption. Ephesians 1 and 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. You know, the beauty of this is that in Colossians in chapter 1 in verse 13, it says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. I also coupled together there verse 14 in Colossians in chapter 1. I really like what it says, that we have been delivered from the power of darkness, that power that kept us from God, that power that blinded our minds from the very hope that God had for us. But through the belief in Jesus Christ, through the blood rinsing us, through the revelation, through the reconciliation, we have been now been delivered from the power of darkness, and we have been conveyed into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We have been translated, we have been transferred, we have been taken from the power of darkness into the power of the Word, into the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this came to us through redemption, through the blood of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, through the forgiveness of sins. You see, all our sins have been forgiven. He's alive. He has brought redemption into our life. Hope, it has and continues to bring an applied redemption into our heart. The word hope occurs some 52 times in the New Testament alone, and it is always connected in some way to God. God is the author of our hope. You know, I believe that hope is so important. I live every day myself with hope to see more saved, to be more useful for God, to see more people be delivered from sin, to be seeing more people healed from their diseases, healed from circumstances that they have found themselves in, set free from the things that have captured them, delivered from addictions that may have brought them and is hurting them and brought them to a place where they cannot serve God in the fullness of his glory. You see, I have a hope in a world that is full of sin, that the deliverer, Jesus Christ, will come and deliver consistently this hope and this deliverance, that they would be set free from their sin. I have that hope, and I believe that because I see it daily in the ministry. And why can I confess that so publicly and so confidently? Because he is alive. He is alive in my heart, as I believe he's alive in your heart today. I believe that he is alive in so many people's hearts across this world, but yet we have such a ministry of reconciliation to continue in. So let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, Hebrews 10 and 23. Let us hold on to it. Let's confess it. Let's not waver. Let's be unwavering. Let's be rigid in what we believe. For you see, God who promised is faithful. You know, what exactly is hope? One definition of hope is having both a desire and the expectation of getting what is desired. You know, you should never lose hope. You should never give up on what God has promised you. You should never, ever stop dreaming, believing in what the Lord has given you and believing what the Lord has promised you and looking in the Word and seeing the promises of the Word and claiming those promises for your life. No matter what you find your condition in today, never stop hoping. No matter how low that you may find yourself, never stop hoping. No matter how deep the valley is, never stop hoping. No matter how wide the oceans may be that separate you from your dream, never stop hoping. No matter how deep the river may be that separates you from those things that you believe have been promised to you, never stop hoping. The Lord our God will never fail you. The Bible says that He fails not. The Bible says that hope does not disappoint in Romans in chapter 5. You see, you need to believe in who He is and know that He is alive. And He will continue to bring the promises into your life. Hope brings you closer to God. You see, the two men on the road to Emmaus that day after Jesus had died on the cross, they were probably considering their hope was over. They didn't believe that maybe that Jesus was going to come back. But Jesus appeared to them on that road and they didn't recognize Him. They walked with Him. But yet when He decided and began to speak the scriptures to them, hope was alive in their life and they recognized who He was. You see, when you read the Word, hope becomes alive. Hope all of a sudden becomes real to you. And you begin to believe. So consistently read the Word daily. Consistently believe in the Word. Pray the Word when you're praying and understand that Jesus Christ brings that fire of hope into your life where you can consistently believe and know that your dreams are not over. You know, Elijah felt alone, without friends. He even said to the Lord, "Kill me, for I am no better than my father." He found himself in a cave saying that he was the only one. But when God showed up with His Word, he became alive in his hope and he went down into the valley where God sent him. And we find that through that time he anointed kings and he anointed people and he touched lives and he found his protege, Elijah, and he anointed him. You see, when we think we're alone, we're not, for the Lord our God never leaves us nor forsakes us. And there are so many out in this world that have that hope. Why? Because He's alive. He's alive forevermore. He rose on the third day in the bodily resurrection. You see, life's issues cause fear sometimes in your life. And fear can actually be a negative thing. You see, because it'll almost paralyze you and sometimes does paralyze you from believing in what God has promised you. Don't let the issues of life cause you to fear or to be paralyzed. Move forward in the things of God. You know, perfect love casts out all fear. God's perfect love casts out all fear in your life. Believe in what God has promised you and don't allow fear to enter in. Don't look through the eyes of the flesh, but look through your eyes of faith. Look down the road through the telescope of faith and see those promises active in your life. See those dreams coming true and believe that what God has promised you will come to pass. And you can say this aloud, "He is alive in my life and I trust in the Lord my God." Your own life is a crisis sometimes. We don't order crises. They just show up. We get phone calls that bring crisis into our life. We make a bad decision one day, maybe because we didn't pray or we just didn't obey the conviction of the Holy Spirit. and a crisis comes. But don't stop believing. Don't stop hoping. Don't stop breathing the hope as you continue every day of your life. Speak your hope. Speak the promises of God, even through a crisis. You see, God is the deliverer of crises. He will bring deliverance to you. He knows that you'll make a bad decision one day. He knows that you may receive a phone call. He knows that you may lose a close loved one day. Whatever the crisis may be, He is still there, and He will always be there with you. Again, He never leaves you nor forsakes you. The Bible says in Malachi in chapter 3, verse 6, that He changes not. He is always there. In Hebrews in 13 and 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forevermore. So always believe that no matter what's going on in your life, in everything, you're going to give thanks, for this is the will of God for you by Christ Jesus. Trust in the Lord and know that even in life's crises, you will continue to believe and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope like Job did. Verses 23 through 27 found in the chapter 19 in that great book of Job. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book, that with an iron stylus and lead they were engraved in the rock forever. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last He will take His stand on the earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God, whom I myself shall behold, and whom my eyes will see and not another. My heart faints within me. You see, Job believed that no matter what he would go through, he knew his Redeemer lives. He knows that he would see his Redeemer in the last day standing on the earth. You see, my friend, how wonderful that is. His hope, no matter what, and we read the book of Job, we've studied the book of Job, and we see the depths of pain that he went through, but he never lost his faith in the Lord his God. And yes, in that book, he made some statements that he probably shouldn't have made in such a crisis and such pain and anguish, losing his family, losing all that he owned, and losing all the prizes that he may have had in life. But he realized that his Redeemer lives. He realized that he would see him and not another. Oh, how wonderful it is that to see hope in such a time. You see, the last and certainly the most important of all to all of us is to have been born again. He has redeemed us through His blood and has forgiven us of our sins. Again, we can refer to Colossians 1, 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. You see, we are now the redeemed of God, knowing that through John 3, 16 and 17, that we are the redeemed of God, knowing that He has set us free, that we are no longer under the judgment of God, but we are under the love of God, the power of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, and we walk by faith and not by sight. We realize that the resurrection of the Son of God solidified the atonement in our life. He came forth. The rock, the stone, was rolled away. And He walked out of that tomb in the bodily resurrection, alive forevermore. I want to confess to you today in joyful adoration, He is alive. He has set us free. He is not dead. He is alive. There has been no other in the history of man ever that has rose alive in the bodily resurrection from the dead. We've heard testimonies of people seeing this person or that person. I can't explain that, but I know one thing. No one has ever seen anyone come back from the dead in the bodily resurrection. Jesus Christ has fulfilled the promises and the prophecies of Scripture. He is the Savior of the world. He is the King of kings and the Lord of glory. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Redeemer of all mankind. We celebrate His rising because we have been given victory of sin and death. We are victorious over them because of what He did for us, as we read back in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, verses 54 through 58. He has given us that deliverance. I like what it says in Romans 6, in verse 14, as Paul wrote the church in Rome and the wonderful statements that he made. But this has always been one of my favorite scriptures found in the book of Romans. And sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Let me say that again. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. How wonderful that is to realize that we are no longer under the law of God. We can't live the law. We could never live the law. Jesus came back to fulfill the law, and He did just that for you and I. And now we are under grace, that unmerited favor of God. That beautiful deliverance that He brought us didn't come from a beautiful sight to all those that day, but we have that deliverance in our life. Sin does not have its master over us anymore, that master of the enemy of our soul. Sin does not declare to us what to do, but now we walk under the very strength of God's grace. The victory is ours by what He did for us. You see, He did it, we didn't. He set us free, we didn't set ourselves free. He's alive, and we get to be with Him for eternity. You see, He came to give us a life, and that life more abundant, John 10:10. We have to understand that one day we will step off this earth, and we will meet Him in glory. We will see Him in heaven, and we will meet Him face to face. How wonderful it is that He has given us freedom to live and a freedom to worship. You know, I wonder sometimes why people don't feel so free. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:17, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." You see, I believe really that we have a freedom to live and a freedom to worship. Oh, I know that there are times when the pressures of life get to you, but again, never lose hope. Never allow your life to be bound to where you cannot be free to live for Him. Never allow the circumstances of this world to overcast you and overshadow you that you don't have the freedom to worship. You see, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And the Lord is that Spirit. I believe today that we can celebrate with all those across this earth that know Him. He gave a reason to celebrate for eternity. He rose on the third day. He is alive. He is our Savior. He is our God. He is Jesus. He is the Master. He is the Teacher. He is our Redeemer. As we join together throughout this world today, let us rejoice forever. The Lord Jesus is alive. He lives forevermore. Our Savior has risen from the dead, and He is alive in our life. He is the Lamb of God who was slain, but now has risen, for He is the Savior of the world. Today, if you've never met the Lord, I want to share with you that He wants to save your soul. He wants to deliver you from all your sin. He wants to deliver you from those things that keep you separated from the love of God. You know, the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you would just call upon Him today and ask for forgiveness of your sin, Jesus Christ will forgive you. He will set you free. He will come into your heart and cleanse you, and He will be with you forevermore. if you'll just call upon Him, speak to Him, confess your sin to Him, and allow Him to come into your heart today, Jesus Christ will save your soul and you will become part of the family of God. God bless you today.